fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And if you've been listening to the program this week, I've been talking about the culture of death. What is a culture? Culture is a way of life, the way of life of a people. A culture is what is the way in which a people expresses what it values most and what it's built on. And those values are encoded in laws. They're expressed in art. It's all present. And so the way of life of a people is built on an imaginative worldview. Who are we? Why are we here? What is the good? How can people find human happiness? We're in an intense battle, and all week I've been talking about it. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on the computer or download them and put them on your iPod or iPad or whatever and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. I ended yesterday's program as reflecting on the problem of the culture of death and its particular expression in the demographic winter that we're seeing in the West in particular. That is that societies for the first time in human history are refusing to have enough children to replace themselves. And so there's a wonderful book, I think an important book called Why Civilizations Die by David P. Goldman that reflects on some statistics that the UN put together in this regard. And here's a quote from the book. I read this yesterday, but I want to pick up here and build on it. It says, mortality stalks most of the peoples of the world today. Not this year or next, but within the horizon of human reckoning. A good deal of the world seems to have lost the taste for life. The repudiation of life among advanced countries living in prosperity and peace has no historical precedent. Today's cultures are dying of apathy, not by the sword of their enemies. He's making a point that we're witnessing something, as far as we know, the world has never seen before. Civilization, countries, Italy, Germany, Japan, others, are disappearing, not because of a great plague, not because of disease, not because enemies have conquered and destroyed them, but they're disappearing because they've lost the will to live. They've lost a taste for life. Pope John Paul II, who began to help us see, as he read the signs of the times, the reality of what is emerging in this post-Christian secularized culture, is a way of life that is fundamentally controlled by the power of death. The power of death itself. One of the ways you can see that, friends, is when people are facing tremendous difficulties, the question is, how am I going to get through that difficulty? What am I going to rely on? Or I'm running into a problem, an intractable problem that I can't solve. I'm in a kind of panic or fear. What will I trust in? What view of reality will guide my decision-making in the midst of crisis and tremendous difficulty? Well, we talked all week about what's happening in Amsterdam with the rise of euthanasia since 2002 when it was legalized. Over 5,000 people have been killed, have been euthanized, including children. A recent story of a 20-year-old woman, it just grabbed my heart when I read it. It's so clearly a sign of the times. A 20-year-old woman who was sexually abused, suffered post-traumatic stress, suffered a great deal, tremendous pain, and the professionals around her who gave her therapy tried this or that. It didn't work. She said she couldn't stand it anymore. They said, well, it's your right. It's your life. It's your body. Do what you want. We will cooperate with your free decision. We will put you to death. There's just so many things that are screwed up there. There's just so many things that are disordered there. And the kingdom of darkness or the culture of death, in all of its fine wording, presents a counter gospel. Here's the way to happiness. The way to happiness when you're in trouble, when you're facing intractable problems, you're facing serious sickness, you're facing a crisis, you're facing depression. Here's the key. Here's the ticket for your happiness. You have the power over life and death. Pull the plug. Kill yourself. You have an unwanted pregnancy. You're frightened. You're scared. Your future as you had planned it isn't going the way you want it to go. You're afraid you may not have the money. It could slow down the progress of your career. Whatever it is, fear lays hold of us. Panic. What are people going to say? All the things that can come down upon us at that time. And it's very hard to make a sound moral decision in those moments if we're not fundamentally rooted in the truth. But if we've just been kind of drifting with the culture, and we live under the anxiety and the pressure of the culture, that you have to be in control of your life, you are the master of your own body, that fear and anxiety and the kind of frantic confusion that lays hold of so many minds and hearts, you're going to give in to what the culture says. And what the culture says, look, it's not that difficult. You can solve this problem very easily. Just have an abortion. It's not that big of a deal. And now, more and more, the insistence is happening in this country, but euthanasia, as well as children being born with certain kinds of handicaps, the voices are rising more and more in the country that that's not really a person, that a parent has the right to see that that child is put to death. And all the way through this, every one of these expressions of death, which is our ticket, it's our way out, it presents itself to us as freedom. Friends, this is insane. This is the culture of death. And out of human fear, out of panic, out of selfishness maybe, whatever it is, and the voices of culture saying to us, no, this is what it means to be good. This is compassion. This is love. This is mercy. Compassion, love, and mercy is what? You take away what belongs to God, his right over life and death. You become the master. You believe the lie that your body is yours. You were made for God. You're made by God. So you stand on a lie, and then you assert your will, because people say, it's your right to do with yourself whatever you want. And we say, yeah, that's what it means for me to be human. I'm autonomous. I'm free. Nobody is going to tell me what I can and cannot do. I can make the final decision, and I can be in total control of my life from beginning to end. Why? Because I can wield the power of death. Friends, Satan is a murderer. He's a liar. He's the one who wants every human being to die apart from God. Jesus came and destroyed the power of that darkness and death. He shone his light into the darkness. But friends, if we don't live in the light and we pretend that we can just simply reject the natural law, God's language in his creation, God's appeal to us in his creation, we can deny ourselves, we can suppress all that truth, we can suppress the revelation that God has given to us, and then we can have a happy existence. We're absolutely wrong. Yeah, we can certainly have pleasure. We can certainly have using our resources to live the life, quote unquote, we want. But at the end of the day, friends, none of it will satisfy us. None of it. The devil has done a great work in our time, a big work, deceiving human minds, conniving human wills. We want, friends, in the depth of our heart, it's there. We want to break from our responsibility to God. That's deep in the human heart. That's part of the fall. And we have a culture that is not bringing wisdom and life and light, but we have a culture that's feeding that in us and trying to convince us that that's the road to goodness, that's the road to happiness. But cultures and civilizations die in this book, Why Civilizations Die. He quotes St. Augustine. St. Augustine is talking about the definition of a republic and what a successful one looks like and what a unsuccessful one looks like. And he said this. He said, the definition of a republic, Augustine insisted, must take into account the traits that lead it to preservation or its downfall. States fail, Augustine argued, because peoples fail. And peoples fail because they love the wrong things. A nation defines itself by what it loves, and the wrong sort of love condemns it to eventual ruin. What we love now, friends, is our right to choose. That's what we love more than anything. My right. I can define reality on my terms. The government must give me the resources, you know, must agree that I can insist on euthanasia for myself if I want it, or I can abort a child, or I can get rid of an unwanted child. Whatever it is, All these things that are emerging, I can define what marriage is. I can define its meaning. I am the master of my own destiny. That's the struggle. We love our willfulness. We love our radical autonomy. We love our capacity to deceive ourselves, that we are the masters of our own reality. Again, I just want to read that line from Augustine. Augustine insisted that the definition of a republic must take into account the traits that lead to it, its preservation, and to its downfall. States fail, Augustine argued, because peoples fail. And peoples fail because they love the wrong things. A nation defines itself by what it loves, and the wrong sort of love condemns it to eventual ruin. A month or so ago, my wife and I were celebrating our 30th anniversary. We spent 8 days in Italy and 8 days in England, beautiful countries. But every church we went to was mostly empty. The countrysides, the villages, the towns, they're filled with, there's churches everywhere, but they're mostly empty. Those glorious, beautiful churches, many of them, they were expressions of love. You knew what this people loved. But they're empty now in many places because we love something else. The culture no longer loves God. God has become an obstacle to my freedom and to my happiness. And we've decided we're going to go our own way. I remember this quote from Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis wrote this about civilizations and history. He said, "This is the key to history. Terrific energy is expended, civilizations are built, excellent institutions are devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and cruel people to the top, and it all slides back into misery and ruin. In fact, the machine conks. It seems to start up all right and runs a few yards, and then it breaks down. They're trying to run it on the wrong juice. That is what Satan has done to us humans. That is the key to history, right? Trying to run civilization on the wrong thing. That's what's happening now. And what we need to see, friends, is there's only two roads. There's only two ways. God has put before us life and death, blessing and a curse. Those are the options. There's no neutral ground. As humanity continues to turn its back on God and insists on a secular political life and raises up its new set of values with my rights and my right to choose and my right to define reality and self-create as the center of it, that's fundamentally, friends, a rebellion against the Creator. It's going to lead to our demise, to our destruction. We're not going to be able to survive it if we keep insisting on it. Because what we're doing in saying no to God is we're saying yes to the kingdom of the enemy. Whether people do it, whether they confess it or not, doesn't matter. If we refuse to walk in the ways of God, we're going to, in the ways of his light, we're going to walk in the way of darkness. And as Pope Benedict XVI said, we will, and what we're seeing is that humanity will lose its bearings, its hold on reality, and will become a slave to the kingdom of darkness. Friends, we need to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth now, in the power of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.